It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Coronavirus stimulus.
Substantial relief, very substantial relief. That's a big number.
That is our top story at noon today. President Trump heads to Congress. He'll be asking for economic relief to offset losses from the coronavirus.
We're going to be meeting with House Republicans, Mitch McConnell, everybody, and discussing a possible payroll tax cut or relief.
The Dow rebounding some today following yesterday's breathtaking 2,000-point plunge. Here's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
You're really thinking about your accounts, your retirement, and watching the volatility day to day. What you need to know is this is likely to persist.
Meantime, six members of Congress and a handful of folks at the White House now under self-quarantine after possible exposure to the coronavirus. Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton says any potential work-from-home plan in this country needs to include folks who don't work from a computer.
What are we going to do for our mill workers, for our factory workers, for truck drivers, people who don't have the luxury to sit at a desk in their home and work? That's where I think we need to focus any economic relief on immediately, because if those people get sick, obviously that's going to have an economic impact as well. We want to make sure that those people who might suffer that harm through no fault of their own are held harmless.
There are now nearly 800 confirmed cases and 26 deaths in the U.S. from the coronavirus. In Santa Clara County, California, the NCAA women's basketball tournament and San Jose Sharks hockey games could be impacted. Here's Public Health Officer Dr. Sarah Cody.
I have issued a legal order banning events with more than 1,000 people in attendance.
Major American sports leagues also closing their locker rooms to protect teams from the coronavirus. And the popular game shows Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune will now tape upcoming episodes without a studio audience in response to the outbreak. Meantime, in hard-hit Italy.
Continuiamo a pregare insieme.
The Pope is urging priests to continue meeting with coronavirus victims despite a new nationwide lockdown.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. All travel in Italy now restricted and all public gatherings of any kind have been banned. The Vatican has closed St. Peter's Square until next month, too. But there is a silver lining in all of this. At the epicenter of the coronavirus in Wuhan, China, the number of confirmed cases now on the decline. Six states up for grabs today as the Democratic presidential race enters the home stretch. Frontrunner Joe Biden and his one-time challenger, Kamala Harris, took the stage last night in Michigan.
We need you. We want you.
We will elect Joe Biden as the next president of the United States.
Recent polls show Biden beating Bernie by double digits in the all-important state of Michigan today. That's where we find correspondent Steve Futterman.
4 years ago in this same Michigan primary, Hillary Clinton was in front. And guess who won?
Senator Bernie Sanders.
And it's that same Bernie Sanders who's hoping history repeats itself.
That's Steve Futterman reporting. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe says Bernie Sanders needs to win Michigan today to have any shot at winning the White House in November.
Because if he doesn't, you're running out of mathematical options.
Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard also continuing her long shot campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. Overseas, some U.S. troops coming home from Afghanistan. Correspondent Cammie McCormick at the Pentagon this afternoon.
The military is calling this a conditions-based withdrawal from 13,000 to 8,600 over the next several months. This is part of the U.S. deal with the Taliban. Still to come, an Afghan-Taliban prisoner release. The key concern is a political crisis, with two rivals declaring themselves president of the country.
That's Cammie McCormick reporting. Sesame Street doing its part to make sure the kiddos get counted in the upcoming census. The number-obsessed vampire Count Von Count, reminding families how important it is. In new ads that started airing today, children under the age of five are believed to have been the most left out segment in the 2010 census. Still to come this Tuesday, combating coronavirus in New York and Pennsylvania, speed zone cameras in Buffalo, alleged racism in Binghamton, and retracing the Mason-Dixon line.
Good afternoon. A cold front delivering showers today will also deliver cooler air tonight and tomorrow, ending our spring fling. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Checking the stories right now, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, March 10th. New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo is putting forward a new policy that will require schools to close for 24 hours if a student tests positive for the coronavirus. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The potential closures will allow officials to assess the situation and determine what actions need to be taken. Schools in central New York are already working on plans in case of a local outbreak. Local superintendents are meeting this week to talk about how they would handle such a situation. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. And with the most confirmed cases of the virus in the entire country, New York State now making its own hand sanitizer.
We're introducing New York State Clean hand sanitizer made conveniently by the state of New York.
Governor Cuomo says 100,000 gallons of that hand sanitizer will be made each and every week in New York, then shipped out to government agencies, schools, prisons, and public transportation hubs all across the state. Over 150 people in New York now have the coronavirus.
The majority of those cases are in the town of New Rochelle. There are no confirmed cases in the Family Life listening area. Governor Cuomo says if any COVID-19 shows up at school, that school will be closed for a minimum of 24 hours. And some schools in Westchester County could be closed for several weeks. Bob Price, Family Life News.
All right, Bob, five more people meantime have now tested positive for the coronavirus in Pennsylvania.
We are reaching out to anyone who came into direct contact with these individuals to see if they have developed symptoms and if they need to be tested.
Pennsylvania Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine says a total of 11 people are now infected in the Commonwealth. Governor Tom Wolf says help is on the way.
Major health insurance companies, those providing comprehensive medical coverage in Pennsylvania, have agreed to cover the costs of diagnostic tests and associated health care costs.
Most of the confirmed cases in Pennsylvania are near Philadelphia. Health officials say the coronavirus could stick around until September. The Genesee County Sheriff's Office in Western New York says a 72-year-old woman drowned in a pond last night while looking for her missing dog. Police say Patricia Seguin from Oakfield, New York, stumbled into her pond after dusk last night. Her body was found by police earlier today. They're honoring a hero in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania today. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
This afternoon, fallen firefighter 34-year-old Jerome Geis's body will leave the coroner's office and return to Mount Holly Springs in a procession escorted by members of his fire company. Geis was killed Monday morning while attempting to rescue a resident from a blaze at a Boiling Springs house. Today, fellow first responders are rallying around each other.
There's guys here at the firehouse hanging out because we're mourning. We need each other, and we're each other's support system. Same thing with another fire station.
Governor Wolf has ordered flags at half-staff in Cumberland County to honor Geis. The state and U.S. flag will also be flown at half-staff on Saturday when his funeral is expected to be held. Geis is survived by his three young children, mother, father, and sisters. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Protesters gathering outside the police department in Binghamton, New York yesterday. They're calling for Chief Joseph Zukoski to step down.
Chief Zukoski's had racism brought against him. He's had sexual discrimination brought against him. It's time for him to step down and we get new people in there that aren't prejudiced.
Zukoski under fire for his handling of several cases and his alleged comments towards fellow police officers in the city of Binghamton. The first two speed zone cameras in Buffalo will go live starting tomorrow morning in the Queen City.
This program is designed to protect the safety of our children going
to school and coming home from school.
Mayor Byron Brown says the first two schools to get those cameras will be Canisius High School on Delaware Avenue and the Makowski School on Jefferson Avenue.
There will be flashing beacons that will alert motorists that they are entering a school speed zone.
Officials say the Canisius and Makowski schools see the most traffic, so that's why they'll be getting the first cameras. 20 schools in Buffalo will ultimately be getting those speed zone cameras, which officials say should cut down on the number of car-kid collisions outside of Buffalo City schools. Educators across the southern tier flocked to Thomas Edison High School yesterday in Elmira Heights. They were there to talk about the teacher shortage problem in the state of New York.
Even 10 years ago, a real shift, a negative shift toward education. We've really tried to take back our profession.
That's Jolene DeBrango. She's with New York State United Teachers.
We are trying to make changes in teacher evaluation, which we were very successful in doing last year. We're still working on making our testing system fair for all students here in New York State. So I think a lot of those improvements have turned things around.
DeBrango says New York will need 180,000 new teachers over the next decade, or there will be a severe staffing shortage at schools all across the state of New York. Lawmakers in Chemung County, New York, have passed a measure that opposes the 5-cent fee on paper bags.
It doesn't place a burden upon the businesses to charge it, to disperse it to Albany and to the county. It doesn't put a burden on the county to manage it. Paper bags.
David Manchester is chairman of the Chemung County Legislature. He says it's going to be up to individual stores in Chemung County on whether or not they want to charge that 5-cent fee for a paper bag. The move by Chemung County lawmakers in response to New York State's new ban on plastic bags that took effect the 1st of March. Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro now investigating more than a dozen companies involved in the state's oil and gas industry. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
It was the first acknowledgement of the investigations by the Attorney General, which have involved an investigative grand jury in Pittsburgh for more than a year. A spokeswoman for Shapiro's office confirmed the investigations, but declined to discuss details. In his comments to the Post-Gazette, Shapiro said criminal charges were expected in the near future and that his office was putting enormous resources into the investigation. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. A group of surveyors from Pennsylvania and Maryland plan to create a new record of what might be America's most famous border. That would be the Mason-Dixon line. Officials from both states will survey the 196-mile border stretching from Delaware to the southeastern tip of Fayette County, where Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia all meet. Those surveyors will make a new record of the stone markers that Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon laid in the late 1760s along that border of the two British colonies to settle a decades-long dispute. Work scheduled to start later this month and should be finished by August of 2021. Well, the Sabres get a much-needed win. They have been hard to come by in Buffalo this season. It is sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in Buffalo, where Dominic Cahoon's goal in the seventh round of the shootout gave the Sabres a 3-2 lead. Then Linus Olmark is back.
Connick at center. In on Olmark. Save! Sabres win it!
His 33rd save of the game gives the Sabres a 3-2 win. Jeff Skinner impressed.
Made some big saves. I think he had great rebound control, which is big, I guess, especially against this team. They got some skilled guys, and they got some guys that can roll around.
The win snapped a 6-game losing streak for Buffalo. The Sabres 11 points out of the wild card. Washington leads Philadelphia by 1 point on top of the Metropolitan Division. Many of North America's major sports leagues are closing access to locker rooms and clubhouses to combat the coronavirus. The NBA, NHL, MLB and MLS say the decision comes after consulting infectious disease and public health experts about the outbreak. Media interviews will be restricted to areas outside of the locker room. The Olympic flame will be lit on Thursday, but hardly anyone will see it. Organizers shutting out the public because of the coronavirus. Only 100 officials will be allowed to attend the event in Greece. The flame will be there for 8 days, then fly to Japan for a 121-day journey to Tokyo. The Summer Games scheduled to begin on July 24th. March Madness picking up steam. More teams in the NCAA tournament. East Tennessee State knocked off Wofford last night, 72-58, to win the Southern Conference tournament. Five more bids claimed tonight in the CAA, WCC, Horizon, and Summit League. In the Northeast Conference, Robert Morris battled St. Francis for the crown. Today in the ACC tournament, Pitt battles Wake Forest. In the MAC, Canisius battles Iona. Niagara against Marist. Last night upset, Buffalo Bulls knocked out of the MAC tournament by Miami of Ohio, 85-79 in men's action. In women's action, Buffalo Bulls knocked off Miami. Bucknell improves to 24-6 in the Patriot, knocking off Army, 87-61. Robert Morris gets by Wagner, 65-61. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Getting it done at the sports desk this afternoon. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, tempering the financial blow from the coronavirus. We'll have the very latest, plus turning obstacles into opportunity. Meet today's hometown hero. And at the end of today's broadcast, the happiest places in all of America.
Whenever the Supreme Court, especially today's remade Supreme Court, takes on an abortion case, emotions run high. And this Louisiana case is a big deal. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the most important abortion case since Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt. In that 2016 case, the court struck down a Texas law that required abortion clinics to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of their location. The court said that such a law placed undue burdens on a woman's access to abortion. This case involves a Louisiana law nearly identical to the Texas law struck down by the court. Now, note here, I'm emphasizing the word nearly. Despite what you may hear from the New York Times and elsewhere, the laws are not identical, especially in how they'd play out on the ground in their respective states. That's why, after a federal district court initially struck down the Louisiana law based on the Texas law precedent, the Fifth Circuit reversed the district court ruling, with the majority opinion citing two important ways the Louisiana law and the Texas law are different. First, the Louisiana law would only affect about 30% of women seeking an abortion. Second, the requirements for doctors to obtain admitting privileges are less strict in Louisiana than Texas, meaning abortion providers could more easily comply with the law and fewer would be forced out of business. With those differences in mind, the circuit court concluded that the Louisiana law did not impose an undue burden on a woman's access to abortion. So, here we are, just 4 years after deciding Whole Women's Health, a recently remade court is agreeing to hear a case which could overturn precedent and create significantly more elbow room for state-level restrictions. Much of the oral argument centered around what constitutes an undue burden. Chief Justice Roberts raised the possibility that the issue was a factual one. What may constitute an undue burden in one state might not in another. But the lawyer for June Medical Services rejected that idea and insisted that because requiring admission privileges serve no medical purpose, it would always pose an undue burden. That prompted Justice Kavanaugh to ask whether such a requirement would have any effect on the availability of abortion if, for instance, every doctor could get such privileges. Well, the lawyer just repeated her answer, that an admission privilege requirement serves no medical purpose. And her answer was telling. Apparently, any regulation of the abortion industry above bare minimum is unacceptable, whether or not it has any real-world impact on the availability of abortion. You see, ultimately, this case is not about the availability of abortion in this one state. It's about the nearly unique status that abortion laws hold in our country. Unlike virtually every single other right, like freedom of speech or religion, any limitation on abortion, no matter how small, is considered a mortal threat to abortion rights and cast as part of a war on women.
It's difficult to know how this case will turn out. The Supreme Court always seems reluctant to overturn prior rulings, even closely decided ones like Whole Women's Health, or to issue sweeping rulings, especially about issues on which America is so deeply divided. My prediction is that the court will narrow the reach of that 2016 decision, leaning on the factual differences between the states and the cases. While such a decision certainly wouldn't be the end of Roe, it could incentivize additional state-level innovations to restrict abortion, which would mean, as we've often said here, that our fight against the evil of abortion would only intensify and that local level activism would only become more important. And after all, the goal is still to make abortion unthinkable, not just illegal. And that's our job, not the courts. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Tuesday afternoon. Back to reality today, folks, after yesterday's fling with spring. Let's get to it. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The cold front bringing our region showers today will bring in cooler air tonight in its wake. That cool air will send our temperatures back to more seasonal levels. Another front will deliver showers later this week and some gusty winds as well. Another round of cooler air will follow it heading into the weekend. For this afternoon, still mild, cloudy, breezy, with some showers around moving west to east across the area. Temperatures have peaked in most areas, will hold steady or drop a bit as the afternoon wears on. Some showers lingering this evening in central New York and central and eastern Pennsylvania, but then skies will be clearing with some moonlight. It'll turn much chillier than recent nights, 20s and low 30s overnight. Some sunshine, cooler tomorrow, 40s, mostly cloudy on Thursday near 50, some rain and wind late Thursday night into Friday.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, March 10th, President Trump wants to soften the economic damage the coronavirus is creating. The president meeting today with Republican senators to push for a payroll tax cut to help hourly workers.
So that they can be in a position where they're not going to ever miss a paycheck.
The president says businesses should also not be penalized because of the virus's impact.
We have a great economy. We have a very strong economy, but this blindsided the world. And I think we've handled it very, very well.
The president says the human death toll in the U.S. would have been much worse had his administration not acted to close the border as quickly as they did. The market's reacting better to the president's economic stimulus package today after yesterday's massive sell-off.
Right after the Federal Reserve cut rates, the first response by everybody in the street was we also need fiscal policy. So the fact that we're moving towards the direction of fiscal policy is a real positive.
Economist Art Hogan, the Dow up over 300 points at midday. Today, Harvard University also announced all classes at that Ivy League school will be done online. There's no school for 36,000 kids in St. Paul, Minnesota today, but it's not because of the coronavirus. Teachers there have walked off the job after contract talks fell apart.
We feel like we're doing a good job when we know our kids' needs are being met. That is what's most important.
And that is Union President Erica Schatzlein. Six states and 352 delegates up for grabs today. It's mini Super Tuesday.
They're going to unite Democrats, Republicans, and independents of every stripe. That's what the nation needs. We got to bring the country together.
Frontrunner Joe Biden looking to add to his slight lead over Bernie Sanders. The latest polls show the former VP with a double-digit lead over the Vermont senator in today's biggest prize, Michigan.
Michigan could also amount to a bellwether for the rest of the Democratic primary race this spring. Another must-watch race will be what happens in the state of Washington. Two recent polls, both fielded after Super Tuesday, show Biden erasing Bernie's one-time advantage. If a loss in Michigan would suggest a weakening of Bernie Sanders in the Rust Belt, an upset in Washington hours later could suggest a total crumbling of his base.
That's Mike Bauer reporting. Most political pundits think Bernie Sanders has to win Michigan today to stay in the race. Dick's Sporting Goods will remove hunting departments from 440 more stores nationwide, continuing a program that started last year. The Pittsburgh-based sporting goods chain announced that bit of news today, the move in response to the mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, 2 years ago that left 17 people dead. While the world's focus is on the coronavirus, North Korea has been busy firing missiles. Here's correspondent Bill Zimpfer.
The second time this week, Kim Jong-un supervised a live-fire military drill, this time as North Korean artillery units conducted exercises. The drills follow the launch of short-range missiles off the east coast of North Korea Monday. North Korea's state news agency said the country will continue to build their forces into those everyone is afraid of.
Bill Zimpfer reporting. Health officials say everyone should be afraid of sleep apnea. Dr. Carlos Nunez is an expert when it comes to sleep. He says if not kept in check, sleep apnea can actually kill you.
The underlying cause is a lack of air flowing into your lungs, drop in your blood oxygen level, and then your brain jolting you to breathe again.
Dr. Nunez says it's much more than just snoring. He says sleep apnea starves the brain of oxygen and the body of sleep.
We've always neglected sleep, and just now, research continues to pour in to tell us how important and impactful good, healthful, restorative sleep can be to our well-being.
Dr. Nunez says more than 50 million Americans have sleep apnea, and 80% of them don't even know it. Coming up on 24 minutes past the hour, Tuesday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Buffalo, New York's Schwartz and Purcell. This local author is teaching folks how to turn obstacles into opportunity.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York. By the age of one, I was placed in the foster care system because my mom was negligent. And so me and my brother was two, and we were placed in the foster care system among child care providers. We got bounced around to a few different homes within those times. We experienced some pretty traumatic experiences, some abuse, and I ended up, just drifting to some deviant behavior because I didn't have any role models, no parents. They left us. They abandoned us. 25 years later, I went on a search to figure out what happened back then.
A lot of people would just kind of throw in the towel, give up, say life's not fair. You did not. Why?
I didn't do that because I had a few different encounters with grace. I was given a second chance at 14 years old. When I was almost, sent away to juvenile detention center after, participating in some gang violence. I was given a second chance by the grace of God to just be put on probation after a year. I got my act together, and basketball set me on the right track with a proper coach when I was 14. So that pretty much helped. And, along the way in college, I fought with mental illness a lot, with depression, suicidal thoughts. And one day in my college dorm room, when I thought to kill myself after being indulged in alcohol and marijuana and other drugs, I actually called upon the name of Jesus, and he actually showed up in my dorm room and took my high away, and I felt a peace that surpassed all understanding. So,
wow. I want to get back to your basketball career because you mentioned your coach at the age of 14 had a tremendous impact on your life at a crucial point in your life. Share with us what that coach meant to you.
He was someone who it was the first time in my life someone looked after me. The coach was a huge title in our community. A lot of individuals didn't grow up with fathers. They didn't grow up with proper role models, proper guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of us just drifted to what we saw on TV. And so based on his talks, his ability to coach me, his ability to talk to me, to communicate with me, to lead by example. I needed somebody to believe in me. And, I opened up to him about what happened in my past, and he understood.
This whole idea of leadership, everyone thinks they're a leader until it's time to actually lead. What, in your opinion, is a leader, a true leader?
A true leader will lead by example. So many times, the, you know, people in leadership positions, you know, just kind of tell and command and do things of that nature. Leadership is a call to action. It's a call to positive action. You know, we know so many bad examples of leaders that when there's a good one, you know, a lot of people kind of put a lot of responsibility onto that individual. It's deciphering what it is that God is calling you to and, you know, what it is that, you know, other people would just want to kind of dump on you. And so you have to be careful. It's really about discernment.
Your new book, it's called Be Your Own Hero, Turning Obstacles into Opportunities. Mm-hmm. You talk about taking adversity, turning it into, as you say, positive energy. Mm-hmm. As concise as you can possibly be, can you tell us what that looks like?
It's a shift in perspective. It's looking at the obstacle or opposition or challenge as an opportunity to grow and to become better. Two people can look at the same situation and have two different outlooks on the situation. One could look at it as, this is terrible, my life is ruined, I'm never going to get ahead. Or, okay, this is an opportunity for me to grow and be stronger, and I can tell someone else about it to help them overcome the same obstacle.
We have a lot of listeners dealing with a lot of tough stuff. They may be suicidal. They may have come from an abusive family environment. They may be addicted to drugs, alcohol. What's your message to that person right now?
I would tell them, just call upon Jesus, be able to pray. He's listening. That's exactly what I did when I was faced with my suicidal thoughts, you know, nearly, you know, acted on it. I had nothing else to lose. When you feel like you're at rock bottom, I would say, you know, just call out on the name of Jesus, and I know he'll answer.
Buffalo, New York's Schwartz and Priscil, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The cold front bringing our region showers today will bring in cooler air tonight in its wake. That cool air will send our temperatures back to more seasonal levels. Another front will deliver showers later this week and some gusty winds as well. Another round of cooler air will follow it heading into the weekend. For this afternoon, still mild, cloudy, breezy, with some showers around moving west to east across the area. Temperatures have peaked in most areas, will hold steady or drop a bit as the afternoon wears on. Some showers lingering this evening in central New York and central and eastern Pennsylvania, but then skies will be clearing with some moonlight. It'll turn much chillier than recent nights, 20s and low 30s overnight. Some sunshine, cooler tomorrow, 40s, mostly cloudy on Thursday near 50, some rain and wind late Thursday night into Friday.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noontime, wanna be happy? Move to California. Correspondent Brian Shook explains.
That's according to a new study from Wallet Hub. It put together the top 20 happiest cities in America based on depression rate, income growth rate, and other factors. Three California cities made the top five, including Fremont at number one, San Jose at number three, and Irvine at number four. Plano, Texas came in second, and Madison, Wisconsin was number five.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Shook reporting, and that is the world we live in for your Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.